Hi, I'm Sky. While Peter was brooding over the vision, the spirit interrupted him. Look, three people are looking for you. Go downstairs, don't ask questions, just go with them because I have sent them. So Peter went downstairs and told them, I am the one you are looking for. Why have you come? They replied, we have come on behalf of Cornelius, a centrist and religious man, a God worshiper who is well respected by all Jewish people. A holy angel directed him to summon you to his house and to hear what you have to say. Peter invited them into his house as his guests. The next day, he got up and went with them, together with some of the believers from Joppa. They arrived in Caesarea. The following day, Peter said to them, you all realize that it is forbidden for a Jew to associate or visit with outsiders. However, God has shown me that I should never call a person impure or unclean. For this reason, when you sent for me, I came without objection. Cornelius answered, I was praying at home. Suddenly, a man in a radiant clothing stood before me. He said, Cornelius, God has heard your prayers, and your compassionate acts are like a memorial offering to him. Therefore, send someone to Joppa and summon Simon, who is known as Peter. I sent for you right away, and you were kind enough to come. Now, here we are, all gathered in the presence of God to listen to everything the Lord has directed you to say. Peter said, I'm really learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group over another.
It began with trans women of color 51 years ago. The Stonewall riots were a resistance to the oppression and over-policing of the LGBTQ community. A remembrance of that riot, that resistance, has become an annual celebration known as Pride. Each June, in cities across the country and globe, rainbow colors and LGBTQ people fill the streets. Here at Highlands, we celebrate Pride as a liturgical season, part of our Christian calendar. We do so as a commitment to live and grow in God's welcoming love, taking pride not in our own accomplishments, but in a God that loves all people. Like other movements, Pride has developed its own soundtrack, songs and music that capture the heart and energy of its history, that capture this moment and its direction. From We Are Family or I'm Coming Out to True Colors to Born This Way, music translates the ethos of those who join their voices, whether in chant or in song or in dance. Step into worship during Pride Month and you will hear familiar tunes like Welcome and Draw the Circle Wide. For we too have music that underscores the movement. Songs that speak to our efforts to build a home where all belong. Now, if you've ever looked at the bottom corner of your hymnal as we have sung these songs of love and inclusion, you might have noticed a name that shows up over and over. Flip that hymnal open and you'll find Words and Music by Mark Miller. Music by Mark Miller. Welcome. Draw the circle wide. Christ has broken down the wall. That upbeat rewrite of Oh for a Thousand Tongues to Sing, the communion liturgy we sing every month. Mark's music shows up everywhere in our life together as a congregation. And this Pride Month, I want you to get to know him, his music, and the message God is sharing through him a little bit better. So Mark and I had some conversation.
So I wonder, just to get a little bit of a better picture of you as a musician, when did you first find music stirring in your soul?
How delighted I am to talk with you and find out that the music means something to your congregation. It means a lot to me. So thank you for letting me have this conversation with you. when music first stirred my soul, I guess. I grew up in a Methodist church. My dad's a Methodist pastor. And so going to church was the regular. And I was told that when I was about 4 years old, I would, and I have some faint memory of this, that at the end of the service in this little white clapboard church in northern New Jersey, where, I don't know, maybe 70 or 80 people worshiped, at the end of the service, I would go running down the aisle to the looming organ pipes that were there at the front of this little church and just bask in the sound of, for my four-year-old ears, to hear this booming bass and the excitement of an organ postlude. I mean, it really, it stirred me. And maybe not so ironically, here I am all these years later as an organist, probably first and foremost, I think of myself.
So I was wondering, welcome. Now, you wrote this piece with Laurie Zelman's lyrics. And I wonder, what was the process or collaboration like? Did you have a feel in your mind and were looking for words? Did she have words and was looking for the right person at the keys? What did that look like?
I think the year was 2004. I really was interested in using this piece at a welcoming event for Reconciling Ministries. And so I went to Laurie Zelman and I said, Laurie, what do you think of writing a new lyric for this melody that I have? And using my refrain somehow, can you write some words that'll fit this new this melody? And she came back with those words that we know now today and love. And of course, Laurie is one of the best hymn writers, I think, of our generation. So yeah, let's walk together, let's talk together, let's dream together. Those were her, that was her creation. So the music in some ways was inspired by Marty Haugen's lyrics. Then I had written the refrain, and then Laurie came to write those verses.
When he asked Laurie Zelman to put verses to his music and his chorus of "All of us are welcome here, all are welcome in this place," she captured a depth and truth that I admit I have missed in the countless times I've sung this song. Mark pointed out the powerful words. Let's walk together. Let's talk together. Let's dream together. This is a blueprint for moving toward God's kingdom, and it starts not with a complete understanding or a defined outcome, but with action and relationship. Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin. We, particularly those of us who are striving to be allies, are invited to walk alongside those seeking acceptance and justice. And as the song points out, we don't know where we are going or how to accomplish our goal when we begin, but to join on the journey is the first step. Those who are fighting for basic human rights, who are struggling for their lives, they don't have time for those of us in privilege to do all the self-work, to fully understand everything before we join in solidarity with their efforts. And as we seek to walk together, we do not seek to direct the journey or offer our overbearing good intentions either. As we walk together, our role is to ask. Ask where to begin. You see, openness to listen to and take the lead from those who are impacted is essential so that our presence on this journey does not replicate the oppression and power dynamic that created the problems in the first place. Our listening and learning as we walk together will shape what it looks like to talk together and dream together. The hymn invites us to talk together of changes that are needed. Let's talk together of a time when we shall share a feast, where pride and power kneel to serve the lonely and the least. That is a transformative conversation. But it can't just be talk. To walk together is to move ourselves and our society, to move ourselves and our institutions. This is the invitation to not simply be allies, but to be accomplices in the work, to be ones who help accomplish something. Let's walk together for a while and ask where we begin. One of the scriptures that shapes our understanding of Pride Month as a congregation is Acts 10:34. I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. This declaration, a scripture I first encountered on a sign at the MLK parade when I was a child, this scripture is a statement of pride. I am proud that our God doesn't play favorites. And as we consider the invitation to walk together and ask where we begin, as we reflect on conversations that ask us to change ourselves while we change the world, I want to look at the story that led to this revelation. Peter was one of the 12 apostles, and he'd been functioning with some specific understandings of what it means to be righteous. You see, he's kept the Jewish laws of purity in his following of Christ. His expectation was that others would do the same, and it was limiting his ability to welcome others into the community. He couldn't talk to people about a day where people would share a feast unless it was a feast that met his expectations and was shared with all those who sat down with him. Pride and power were not serving the lonely and the least. And then Peter has a dream. A vision of God inviting him to move beyond those rules and into relationship, though Peter doesn't fully understand yet. His vision isn't a standalone event. It's partnered with the dream a man named Cornelius had, and his vision told him to find Peter. Cornelius was one of the people Peter would not have shared a meal with, and Peter is invited to walk first to where Cornelius is. And then he is invited to walk with Cornelius and ask where to begin. It is as Peter arrives at Cornelius' house that the dream becomes clear. For normally, Peter would have rebuked an invitation to share a meal with someone who didn't keep the Jewish dietary laws. But having just had this divine dream, Peter is able to turn what seemed to be this abstract idea of a dream into something more. Because instead of an idea, Peter is confronted with a relationship. And so too is it for us. Ideas of welcoming, thoughts of inclusion, philosophies of equity, theologies of justice, they become real when they are connected to the lives of people. People with names, people with life stories, people who are willing to let us walk with them as we grow in love and understanding. I really am learning that God doesn't show partiality to one group of people over another. While dreams are what started Peter and Cornelius' conversation, dreams are what can sustain our conversations as well. As we walk together and talk together, we are also invited to dream together. In the hymn, we are invited to dream of earth and heaven being one, every creature lifting its voice to proclaim God's loving welcome. Such dreams are the hope that calls movements forward. Such dreams keep us moving. They are what we are walking toward. They are what we are talking about. They are the fulfillment of God's longing for all people. My nighttime dreams have not been divinely crafted, but that does not mean I am not without a divine dream. My dreams are formed by the love, acceptance, justice, and hope of Jesus. And my dreams are inspired by those with whom I walk, and that includes you. It includes our community. It also includes our musically inclined friend, Mark.
I wonder, thinking just when you look at the world, what does God's welcome look like when it is truly embodied in the church?
Well, it's interesting, you know, Lori, when she first sent me those lyrics, she said, Mark, this is kind of radical for me to write down. I wonder if people will really grasp the true radical nature of what I've written in these lyrics, that at the final days or in the eschatological moment at the end, you know, of all things, it's not going to be just human beings. It's going to be all life. and it's all life saying welcome. So of course that understanding of religion separating us into, you know, heaven or hell or all those kind of what I would consider less than godlike notions of what salvation means, but that all creatures are there, to all creation is raising its voice. That for me is a real vision that we strive for, you know. So and maybe for our more immediate needs, we need to see who's sitting with us at the table at church, and you know, break down the barriers of race, class, ethnicity, age, ability, income, class, education. These are our human struggles that when I see who are welcome, that's what I think about, transcending those classes of how we've decided to delineate ourselves. It's a challenge. I mean, because of course I just want to be around people that I like, you know, and church is always a wonderful, it should be a place of welcome for more than just the people that I like or the people that like me. And that's what I'm hoping will be both comforted and kind of afflicted in some ways by who is welcome here.
Thank you so much.